T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Then you just do it.
Oh, wow.
How cool would that be? I kind of like that idea.
A little incentive.
I kind of like that
idea. You want to play another game at home? You want to play another game at home next year? Well,
yeah.
Better go win this game.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like that idea. Yeah. That's a good one.
I like that one better than the top pick, because I just don't think
there's no incentive for the players.
I just don't think they play for that. Like, no. Who cares? They don't care.
No, they don't care. But the Pro Bowl,
just some guys come in and maybe take their job.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly right. There's no incentive at all for that. But I do like that kind of that 17th game to see who gets the. But what happens when they go to the 18th game? Then we're because that's coming in a couple of years.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. Well, I guess you could, but you only need a couple of years of change, and then you change it again.
Yeah.
Well, they tweak this thing every few years anyway.
That's right. So. No, I kind of like that.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HG2 Liberty, and Odyssey Station.
In fact, I really like that. I do. I like that Pro Bowl idea. That's a great one right there from the 913.
Well, if we can't get the college team versus the worst NFL team.
Yeah,
which would be terrific. Which I know we can't do, especially if Saban's in it.
Yeah,
George is in it. They might roll.
Yeah,
they might play.
They may play.
Clemson and Alabama not playing. Can you get somebody else to do it? Maybe. I don't have a lot of confidence that Saban or Dabo would want to play in that game.
You think the Jayhawks and Len Leipold would sign up for this?
And then. Would the NFL team balk because they're like, they don't want to lose that game.
Yeah.
What if the Jags came out and lost to Alabama, literally in a game?
Right.
That wouldn't be good.
No,
at all.
It would not
no
be
one
good.
Would like
yeah,
that at
nobody
all.
Would like that. Yeah. Time to talk a little baseball here on 610 Sports Radio as we kind of move forward. Jim Duquette is with us here on 610 Sports Radio, Sirius XM. You can hear him there, and a former executive in the big leagues. And Jim, looking at the Royals right now, man, help us out. What would you do right now if you were running this organization?
Ooh, it doesn't look good, does it, John?
No.
Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, it's one of those where a lot of times the Royals have kind of operated differently than what a lot of people in the industry feel, right? And a lot of this is kind of building from within, and a lot of it is also dictated by your own payroll. But, I think when you look at the start, and I think this was a year that you could reasonably think that they would take a step forward, and that has not happened. I do think that it's time to start picking up and finding guys that you could trade and try to get some value back for. The problem is there's not a ton of that right now anyway. You'd be selling low on a couple of those guys. So they're in a really, really difficult – as an executive, a former front office guy, you're in a really bad spot if you're trying to look at trading a guy, as an example, like Whit Merrifield. His name always comes up at the trade deadline. And they have been reluctant to move him, understandably, but – like, do you really want to try to move him right now, with his start to the season? And obviously Carlos Santana doesn't have much value the way he's been playing. So it's a really bad spot to be as a front office guy, because there's not much you can do at the moment.
What about trading Salvador Perez?
PR hit aside.
You know what? Yeah. 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 No,
if you're looking to rebuild, I mean, you're not winning with him is my philosophy. You already won with him. He's got a 4-year contract. That's a pretty decent contract that, people would probably take on for a Hall of Fame catcher, and you're not winning with him. And I'm looking at ways to not trade guys to get some AA prospect we'll never see, like a guy on an expiring contract we'll bring back. Salvador Perez should bring you some serious value back if you're starting the rebuild process.
He should. He absolutely should. Here's the thing with the Royals. Like, I always felt like when they're going through this rebuild, and they've been gone through this now in two phases, right, with this front office, and they've done a good job, and they did a good job the last time. So you're kind of going through that assumption that they know what they're doing, they can figure it out again. So do you feel like this team is a year away, or is it 3 years away, right? And so if you trade Selvey, then you're likely going through. I don't know, at least 2 years and maybe 3 years of a rebuild. And, you know, are you willing to go through that? I know the front office doesn't feel that way. It's a fair question. And I think that from my perspective, Selvey should get a haul, you know, and I know, you know, that some of the, well, we know he plays every day when he's healthy. The guy's been one of the top catchers, as you mentioned, in the sport. So, and there's not a lot of good catching that goes out there and plays 140 or more games every single year. So he's a guy that should get it. You know, the one issue obviously you have is he's had a couple of kind of injuries that Nick him up, and he doesn't perform well on the defensive metrics, which is a lot of these front offices these days are putting more emphasis on. So I think he'd get a ton. He should get a ton. But you know, that's one of those that if you shop him, you're looking at probably another three years of a rebuild.
When you say a ton, like what could you realistically get back for a player like Selvey who has, after this year, I think three more years or whatever it is remaining on that contract?
Well, so with, you know, with the contract and his productivity, you cannot trade him without getting a first, you know, the headliner would be a top prospect, you know, a top 10 prospect in the sport. But you're really looking at, if you're going to an organization, you got to find somebody that's willing to give up. Maybe not the second one would be another maybe lower number eight, number nine type of prospect. And then you're probably getting two others. You're probably getting a haul of four prospects, two that have to be like no doubt major leaguers. If you can't get that in a deal, then I don't think you can trade them.
Jim Duquette, MLB Network Radio, and former general manager, Mets and Orioles, joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. You mentioned kind of almost like, and if you did that, the concession would be more years. But if 2022 was supposed to be a step forward, like we mentioned, don't you have to reevaluate where you are at in the quote-unquote rebuild? Because this, I'm with you, this felt like a season that we wouldn't be talking about 14 and 28 right now. We shouldn't be talking about, yeah, maybe not 28 and 14, but in the mix. So is there a time, yeah, as a front office where you reevaluate where exactly are we in this process?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's the hard part, because when you build from within, and I remember, you know, when the Royals went through this the last time, and you know, I think Dayton Moore at the time was very transparent about it, said, you know, it's going to be a five-year plan, and I think it ended up being like a seven.
It was actually, he said eight to ten years. They won the American League in year eight, won the World Series in year nine.
Right. That's a long time, right?
Right.
I mean, you don't want to go through another period like that. But I do think that you know, you constantly have to evaluate yourself to make sure you're doing the right things and you're making the right decisions. And I think with their pitching in particular, yeah, you know, there's been some struggles with, you know, obviously Singer has looked great his last two starts, but it's been up and down, you know, with that group. Primarily Carlos Hernandez, you know, hadn't pitched well. Obviously Bubic hadn't pitched well. Like there's some guys that you go, man, I thought they would take a step forward. So the first thing was your evaluation, right? And secondly, was there something in their development that wasn't right? So sometimes there's not a good answer there. And, you know, you don't have the answer, but you have to kind of go off of your knowledge and your instincts on what you think is right. They made a change with their hitting coach. I'm always skeptical when you make in-season coaching changes. It's really, a lot of it isn't the coaching, it's more the talent. So, you know, that's the other thing that they have to look at with this group. You know, for me, on the pitching side, I think there's enough talent there to turn this around sooner than having to go through another 3 years. I think that you're going to go through these rocky periods, and that's what they're going through right now. And if you don't see them, you know, get the pitching in particular get better in the second half, then maybe it is an evaluation thing. But I still believe in some of these pitchers, and we just haven't seen the best of them here recently.
Jim, besides Salvi, who obviously we talked about would bring a haul back in return, is there anybody else on this roster right now that you would look at that you would say, we got to move this guy in order to move forward to get a legit, you know, people back in return? Is Whit Merrifield's window closed in that? Is that standpoint?
Well, I don't know if his window is closed necessarily for me. I think that, you know, Merrifield's a guy that I think will figure it out and get himself, maybe not to where he normally is in his, you know, career numbers. But I think that, you know, it's not unreasonable to think that he can't rebound and get himself back to, you know, it's hard to find quality guys who do what Merrifield does at either second base or the outfield. So I think he would be the other guy that I would look at. It's a reasonable contract. And then you got to decide if, you know, Ben Attendee's a guy. You know, I wouldn't move him. I thought that was a really good trade for Kansas City. I'd try to lock him up, you know, and bring, you know, and try to keep him in the fold again under the idea that, you know, this year, you know, you took a little bit of a step backwards, but you're hoping that in the second half it's going to look a lot better. And you can kind of look at saying, all right, we're going to be in the division mix, you know, next year. Here's the thing. I don't think it's going to take much money for Kansas City to spend to get to, be competitive for a wild card spot or even the division. Like, Cleveland is going in the other direction. Obviously, Minnesota has taken a giant step forward, but that's the level that I think you could expect at Kansas City. Maybe not going out and getting a Correa, but you know, signing a player of significance, kind of to anchor that team. And I think if they did that, I think you'd see a better product on the field.
Who is somebody you would have in mind to fill that role here in Kansas City?
You know what? I'd have to look at the free agent market, you know, coming up.
Sure.
I know that there's a couple of shortstops, you know, that on this past market that I would have been trying to look for, and not necessarily looking at, you know, a guy like if you felt Whit Jr. was going to be a third baseman, I wasn't going to necessarily buy into Mondesi staying healthy. So, you know, like a Trevor Story like player, you know, might. Bogarts is going to be, I think, a shortstop that opts out. I don't think you're going to be able to get him. But it'd be, you know, there are, I mean, if you look at what Correa signed for, right, it's $110 million, I think it was, over 3 years. That is more than in an opt-out after 1 year. There's no reason why Kansas City couldn't afford a player like that if you were, you know, at that point where you can win. Same thing with Trevor Story. That's not an expensive contract. Those are the two guys that obviously with the ability of hindsight, you go, well, yeah, that they're two guys that would fit perfectly there in Kansas City. So every single year, it seems like there's one or two guys like that. And so that's where I would try to focus. I personally, I would look at somewhere in the outfield. You know, I think that's the other area where you can find some value. But I'd have to look at the free agent market to kind of give you a sense of it. And I think it's just being more opportunistic in being in that right spot where, hey, this guy's available. He's coming off a down year. I'll give you a guy, Michael Conforto, who, you know, had the injury. He's going to have signed for a one-year deal. Maybe it's a two-year deal to Kansas City, you know, with an opt-out. But there's no reason why you couldn't attract a talent like that coming off of a down year in Kansas City. So there's at least one guy that I finally came up with.
There you go, Jim. We appreciate the time this
morning.
Thank you for
better.
The insight.
I feel better.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, appreciate it, my man. Thank you.
I'll do my best, boy.
Take care. Jim Duquette with us here on 610 Sports Radio of Sirius XM, a former executive with the Mets and with the Baltimore Orioles. And, you know, it says from the 816 on the text line, I'm all for trading pieces, but Salvi is a non-starter for me. He's a lifetime Royal, no questions asked. They're on pace to lose another 100 games with Salvador Perez.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm with you. I had to throw away just the PR aside. We can't forget the PR of it. It would be a factor. But
look, I'm just going to continue to say they traded Tyreek Hill. Salvador Perez can be traded.
Well, and who can bring you actual value?
Salvador Perez.
I know that's the only one.
Yeah,
that's the only one that can bring you actual value. You don't know about Whit Merrifield.
Right.
Benintendi's on an expiring contract. The other guys you don't like and aren't playing well.
You're not getting anything for Carlos Santana.
No, none.
You're not getting anything for Hunter Dozier.
Nope.
You're not getting anything for O'Hearn.
Nope.
Whoever that guy was playing center field last night, you're never getting anything for him.
If you're going to make moves and want to...
Who the hell was that in center field last night?
You want to get something. It's Salvi and maybe a combination of pitching. And if you want to part with pitching, which is a dangerous thing. But
it is a dangerous thing, but that's also an asset that you have right now. You've got a lot of pitching in the minor leagues.
Yep.
You're going to... You can't sit here and hoard players and lose 90 games a year. Right. And I'm talking for us, the fans. We can't sit here and hoard these players and continue to lose 90 games a year and think we got to keep these players. They're not helping.
Yeah. His optimism that they're closer makes me feel better.
Feel better. Yeah.
Because I don't.
But I mean, the thing about it, Brady Singer continues to pitch like this and Daniel Lynch continues to pitch like he's been able to pitch. Right. You got those are two guys at the top of your rotation. If Brad Keller ends up being your number three and one of the other younger guys emerge to be your four, I mean, that's a nice starting four right there. Go out and find the guy to be your fifth starter next year. The bullpen is where it's at. The bullpen stinks.
HBO had on Deshaun Watson accusers last night. I came out of it saying I still can't believe the NFL is waiting for this to go away. Next.
You're listening to Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm like, hey, what's up, hello? Since you're pretty, soon as you came in the door, I just wanna chill, got a sack for us to roll. Married to the money, introduced her to my stove. Showed her how to whip and now she remixing for low. She my track queen, let her hit the bando. We be counting up, watch how far them bands go. We just set a goal, talking about the Lambos. I'm 56 and grand, I'm 100 grand, though. Man, I swear I love it.
Better baseball times. You're picking the music today on a Way Back Wednesday. 913-576-7610 or at BWKC on Twitter. You select the music on a Way Back Wednesday.
Doesn't this just bring back great memories?
Yeah, I saw
everything. Yeah.
I saw Lo Kane smiling. Yeah. I just did. I know.
Hosmer and Dyson over on the side. Yeah.
Like I said, there's nothing better than a winning baseball team because everybody's invested, everybody's involved, everybody was playing this song.
Working it into all their
Johnson
interviews.
County moms are playing this song in their tan minivans right. And the Starbucks lane is it idled for 30 minutes instead of just going in and getting their beverage.
Had no clue who Fetty Wap was or what a trap queen was, but hey, it said 1738.
Everybody was in. The Royals could have said blah, and everybody would have been going around going blah.
Yeah, I'm in.
Oh, much better times.
June 8th, we want you to be in as well. Wednesday, June 8th, come on out and watch the game with us. And I mean watch the game with us. We're going to sit in a section together, courtesy of Boulevard.
I'll wear sunscreen.
Royals and Jays. He'll wear Bob will have tons of sunscreen on.
Yep.
But come sit with us, 610 Sports Radio. All the hosts will be out there. All the producers will be out there. We're just going to hang out the game together. So stop by one of the participating locations. Very, very simple. Stop by Brickhouse KC, Talk of the Town, the Brass Rail, Brewtop Pub and Patio, among others. You can check out the full list at 610sports.com in the contest page. Look for the Boulevard Wheat sign and scan the QR code that's there, and you're going to have a chance to win a pair of tickets. It's now through the 31st, so still less than a week to get in to one of the participating locations and find that QR code, scan it, and a chance to win a pair of tickets for our Royals and Jays on the 8th of June. Come sit with us on a Wednesday. Should be fun. Must be 21 to enter and win. Boulevard Unfiltered Wheat. Fresh look, same great taste. I caught the Real Sports on HBO last night, and it was actually a really good episode. Like, they had four different stories, and all were actually pretty compelling.
What were they?
They were Deshaun Watson, which we'll get to. Brittany Griner still being imprisoned. Wasn't as much about what she did as about how we're going to get her out, kind of thing.
They didn't mention what she did, that she broke the law?
Briefly, or, okay. But it was more about how they're what they're doing trying to get her out. There was gender questions in sports, which is big, right? And the Savannah Bananas.
Oh yeah, the Bananas.
So
baby.
it was a really good episode. But yeah. I tune in for the Deshaun Watson portion of the show, and a couple of the accusers are now speaking publicly to Real Sports. I feel like they've kind of been pushed to this point too. Like, nothing has happened.
Right.
Grand juries haven't picked it up. Case hasn't been resolved. With each passing day, it feels like it's getting a little, you're getting a little numb to it. You know what I mean?
And then he signs a big time contract with the Browns,
and that I think was also the impetus for a few of these women speaking.
Not just a big time contract, a fully guaranteed $270 million contract.
Yes, Ashley Solis is one of the accusers and said that contract,
it's just like a big screw you. That's what it feels like. We don't care. He can run and throw, and that's what we care about.
So she figured out what the NFL really cares about. Yeah, the NFL doesn't care about this off the field stuff.
No, it's gross. They're just waiting for this whole case to resolve itself. Not going to play in like the graphic portions, but both women that were interviewed described what went down at these massage sessions and what he was there for. Solis had mentioned when the session was over, she was crying. She was terribly uncomfortable. Basically said, this is over. I'm not doing this.
He just said, I know you have a career to protect, and I know you don't want anyone messing with it, just like I don't want anyone messing with mine. That's when I got really scared.
Why?
Because that sounded like a threat to me.
I would imagine that sounds like a threat too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Play that again.
So she didn't want to do what he was asking, including some, again, graphic things about dropping the towel and what he intended to have happen.
He just said, I know you have a career to protect, and I know you don't want anyone messing with it, just like I don't want anyone messing with mine. That's when I got really scared.
Why?
Because that sounded like a threat to me.
Sounds like a threat to me, too.
Yeah,
if you say something here, I'm going to ruin your career, and you know, I don't want my career ruined, so don't go doing something that could ruin your career and my career. That does kind of sound a little threatening. Yeah. If I was somebody in that position, I would probably feel like, whoa, what's going on here?
Kyla Hayes, another of the accusers, her thoughts on then Deshaun Watson getting the big-time guaranteed contract to become a member of the Cleveland Browns in the midst of all this still happening.
It was sick to me.
Why?
I feel like he's being rewarded for bad behavior.
In a virtual press conference with the Cleveland media, Browns ownership assured the community that they'd thoroughly vetted Watson and the accusations against him.
We put more time, more thought, more effort, talked to more people, did more research on this decision by far than any other decision we've made with the Cleveland Browns.
Did they ever reach out to you?
No, they did not.
No one from the Cleveland Browns called you?
No, they did not.
Soledad O'Brien on HBO did a terrific job with it as well.
Who did they talk to then? Who did they vet him with then if they didn't talk to the 22 accusers?
Well, they did their own.
They did their own thing. That's right.
They did their own investigation.
Dirty little secret. NFL doesn't care. They don't care.
They did their own little investigation.
They don't care. And, they're not going to walk around and try to be the off-the-field police unless something happens, and then they have to be. But this is the NFL in a nut. This is professional sports in a nutshell, man.
And it was clear to me, and I didn't read through the depositions when those happened, right? Nobody did, right? So this is a part of it, too, because they feel like they need to get their side of things out. I mean, Deshaun Watson had a clear motive. He bounced around from massage therapist to massage therapist with a, will they go further?
Yeah.
And I'll find out. And if they don't, I'll move on.
I'll move on to the next, yeah.
And some people went further.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who his attorneys are obviously focusing on. What about the people that went further? Obviously, he wasn't. That because they went along with it doesn't make what he did to the other ones right.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
By any stretch of the imagination.
No stretch of the imagination.
Right? And so clear to me, he had a distinct intention, which was to find a masseuse who would go further.
Right.
And if they didn't, he moved on.
He moved on to the next, which is, that's just a creeper.
Yeah, he's totally creepy. So they initially didn't want to take part in the Real Sports. And then Real Sports said at the last hour, they decided they wanted to make a comment. Leah Graham is one of Watson's attorneys and completely tried to spin this on the plaintiff's lawyer. I mean, it's not even about, it's, we'll just play it.
First, it's 22 women. It's one lawyer. There's only one lawyer who was willing to take these cases.
That's not true.
And as we know from Ashley Solis's deposition, Mr. Busby was not the first, probably not even the second or third lawyer that she went to. But he was the only one to take her case. Why? Not because it had merit, but because he would use these cases to increase his social media following.
Oh, God.
And quite frankly, to get on shows like this one. And when we start looking into how did we get to 22, I think that's a very valid question. And I would argue that the inquiry should be focused on Mr. Busby's conduct, not Deshaun's.
Oh,
because when you start
God.
Looking into how we got to 22 cases, he went on social media immediately to create vague statements, vague allegations about behavior that needed to be stopped, and then solicited clients to say, call me. And they did.
You know,
how else are you going to do that?
Because victims of sexual assault, sexual abuse, or whatever, are just more than willing to just offer themselves. No, of course they had to solicit.
Yeah.
Are you?
And you go with one lawyer because it's strength in numbers.
Are you alone? If you're not, call me.
Yeah.
If this happened to you, call me.
Call me.
So that feels like that's a very, very legitimate way to go about it.
And I'm sure the lawyer is taking this case to get more Twitter followers, right?
It's all doing it for the gram.
Yeah.
Contact us if this happened to you.
Right. You see it all the time, like the mesothelioma commercial, right? Are we going to want to go down that route, or the asbestos commercial? We see it all the time. Lawyers are out there saying, hey, we have a class action lawsuit. We can't call everybody in America and ask them if they have mesothelioma, just like we can't call every masseuse in the Houston area and ask if they felt like they were assaulted by Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. I can't believe the NFL hasn't acted. And in fact, didn't do anything to stop the trade.
Mm-hmm.
How they let the trade go through and the contract to go through is baffling.
It's beyond me. Yeah, it really is.
How you have nothing resolved and then the Browns. Oh, the Browns.
They're the worst. They are just an awful
organization. An unprecedented guaranteed contract.
That's the guy they chose. Not a good upstanding citizen. They chose this guy.
To do something that
Never has been done before.
Never has been done in the NFL before.
That's right.
It guaranteed him $230 million.
Correct.
Guaranteed it.
Right.
It's gross. He's gross. Yeah, it's gross.
But I hope it does get pushed out for a very long time because he does have that weasel contract where he's only making $1 million this year. So I hope he plays the whole year and then the suspension is next year when the $30 million a year or whatever it is kicks in. And then he's really kicked in the junk and has to pay a big sum of money. That's what I want to see happen.
I don't know what the criminal aspect is. I'm not going to play lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
It's creepy.
Yeah. It's a civil case now, though. There's no more criminal stuff. The grand jury said that.
It hasn't. Yeah. I know. I understand. But I'm saying I can't determine why or why not someone didn't get charged. Because they didn't get charged, in my book, doesn't mean they're not guilty of something.
Sure.
Right? He clearly was looking for something.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought it came with the normal massage rate.
Right.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. No, it does not.
It does not.
Mm-mm. I mean, you get into the point of when you become a professional athlete that for your whole life you've been able to get away with everything. Nobody holds great athletes accountable at any level, whether it's high school, college, middle school. Everybody who's an exceptional athlete gets preferential treatment. Grades get fixed. You get money. You get kicked. Like, nobody holds you accountable. They find ways to get you out of everything. And then you get to the professional level and you get into some trouble because you think you can get away with anything you want because you've done it your whole life. We've enabled professional athletes to feel like they're infallible and they can do whatever they want and get away with whatever they want because for their whole lives they have. It's a societal problem as much as anything.
Believe the NFL.
Worshipping these athletes like they're deities.
The NFL's not putting anything involving him on hold.
Right.
He put himself on hold last year. The NFL did not.
Right, exactly. He wasn't going to play last year, yeah.
We don't want to play for this team. They're no good.
They might have to act if he intends to play this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty sad. Good episode, though. If you want to check it out on HBO, HBO Max, or whatever, it's up now, the latest edition of Real Sports.
It's time for another Spectre Interjector.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, Josh. Good morning, morning. B-Dub. Good morning. Text line. I want to flash back to last Wednesday when Dayton Moore came on with you guys and said something that I haven't heard a lot of follow-up on. He said something to the effect, and I'm paraphrasing, that the gap between AAA and the major leagues has never been greater. Okay, so let's think about that statement for a second, and it does seem certainly true, right? Daniel Lynch and Jackson Coar both dominated AAA. Lynch has had his struggles, but also had some wins. Coar hasn't found the same success at the major league level and now can't find it again at AAA. Bobby Witt Jr. dominates AA and AAA. Certainly off to a slow start, I don't think we put him in the same category as a Jackson Coar or a Daniel Lynch. But all that being said, there's a lot of truth behind what Dayton said. The gap between AAA and the major leagues has never been greater. What I haven't heard asked is a very simple question. What's then the point of having good players in AAA? Because on the surface, if the gap's never been greater, you're not really developing to get to the final goal. What's the point of Vinny Pasquantino continuing to hit in AAA if it doesn't get him any closer to being a productive everyday major league player? Because if the gap isn't wider, it's no longer about development. You're just biding time until the position at the major league club is open. And frankly, the spot at first base should be open with Carlos Santana and Ryan O'Hearn not taking a hold of it. If the gap has never been wider and the goal is to win at the major league level and you're not winning at the major league level, there's no reason to have high quality prospects wasting time at AAA. The gap gets shortened when they get major league at bats. That's what Bobby Witt Jr. is going through. That's what MJ Melendez is going through. That's what Kyle Isbell is going through. Now, maybe Jackson Coar is a little bit different because he's clearly gotten shook up since making his major league debut last year. But if the position at the major league level is open and you have a prospect to match in AAA, that prospect should be getting at-bats at the major league level and not at AAA. That's where development will happen. You'll get a quicker timeline on whether you believe a player is an everyday player or just a prospect. And that's how you get closer to bridging the gap between being 13 games under 500 before Memorial Day and being close to a 500 ball club, which we all expected this team to be. I apologize if this point has been brought up, but I don't believe it has. If AAA and Major League Baseball have never had a wider gap, what's the point of Vinny Pasquantino standing on one side of the Grand Canyon in the shade when he could be standing on the other side of the Grand Canyon in the sun?
I shudder to say well done, Spack.
That's a great Spectre interjector right there.
I don't disagree.
If the gap hasn't been greater, why are we keeping these guys down in AAA and not just bringing them up to the big league level? I got news for you, Steven, because Carlos Santana's making money and they don't want to eat the salary.
That's part of it. From a hitter perspective, I totally agree. Pitching to me is a little bit different because I think you are trying to, like if Jackson Coar's here, he's pitching like every whatever day for two innings or an inning and a half. Like, okay, no, go down and be a starter. Even if there's a gap, go down, build confidence, work on stuff. Mm-hmm. Do all the things that I think can be beneficial.
But are you developing enough, though, then to be at the big league level if the gap is so big, though? That's the question.
Maybe not, but doesn't he need more than that? He couldn't handle the big leagues.
Yeah.
We've already seen it. Like, okay, you need to go down and build on some stuff, build your confidence up, and then we'll get back to you kind of
sure,
thing.
Sure, yeah. But the play specter here is, can you develop that confidence knowing that, you know, is this going to translate?
Well, they're not going
to
tell you every time you go out and pitch, you go, the gap's in the bigger. This isn't even real. What you're doing here is a fraud. They're not going to tell you that. From a hitter's perspective, though, and especially if no one's, quote unquote, blocking you by ability, then, yeah, what's the point?
Right.
Positionally, I'll absolutely do it.
Mm-hmm.
Pitching-wise, it depends on the situation. If a guy you think's a starting pitcher can't come up here and be a starting pitcher, then I don't need you for spot duty.
Yeah.
I need to make sure you're building up and going through the paces no matter what the gap is.
From the 620, the answer is service time. Well, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, there is
sometimes,
that as
but
well,
you
yes.
feel like that they're a little less...
I don't think the Royals are into that like some
hung
other
up on
teams
it.
Are.
Hung,
you
up,
know?
Hung up on it as maybe they used to be.
Right. I just think what Spector had said there is a very interesting point. But the answer is Carlos Santana. He is a major roadblock right now. That's why I think the organization just needs to cut bait on this. But that comes from ownership. Are you willing to eat the rest of this gentleman's salary? We're a quarter of the way through the season.
But then also the clock ticking, too. Are you willing to eat somebody's salary, start the clock ticking on a guy in a season that you're already 14-28?
And you're 14-28, right. Because Vinny Pasquantino coming up is not all of a sudden going to make this team 28-14.
No.
That's the other big misconception right now, is that if you bring Vinny Pasquantino and Nick Prado up to this level, or Nick Lofton, or whoever it is that you want to bring up, they're still a 14-28 ball club. You're not all of a sudden going to flip the switch and be better. So is it better to keep those guys down in the minors having success, or bring them up in the middle of this? What's the feel of the clubhouse right now? Is it a positive place to be?
Doesn't look like it could be much fun.
Right? So why would you want to put your young prospects in a situation that isn't really good right now? You want to bring them up to the big league level when they have the best opportunities to have success. And I think if you're the GM, J.J. Piccolo right now, and Dayton Moore, and Mike Matheny as well, you're surveying the landscape of everything that's out there right now. You have to ask yourself, do we want our young prospects who are doing well and feeling really good about themselves to come up and be put in this situation? I would say the answer is no.
That's the balance, though. That's the balance.
You know?
Or are you bringing up here acknowledging you're not going to win games, but bringing them up here to get them ready to perform at the major league level?
Yeah.
And then hopefully win games.
But you want to give everybody the best opportunity, right? And like, I just don't, like, is the clubhouse a toxic situation right now? I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't know that's toxic.
Right. That's what
it's
I'm asking.
Probably
though.
Not.
It's probably not great.
It's
though.
Probably not great.
Right. How could it be? You're 14-28.
Yeah, yeah.
How could it be? How could it be? Right. So that's that. There's so many different things that you have to balance right now. Is Vinny ready to come up here? Yeah, I think he is. But with Carlos Santana there, the team's record where it is right now, nobody feeling really great about this organization at this point in time, maybe it's best to keep some of those guys down in the minor leagues where it's a positive attitude. They feel good and they're having success.
The SEC is thinking about just doing it themselves. It sounds like fun. Next.
Keep listening to Fesco in the Morning.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio.
Requested the Eurythmics.
Oh, my poor tired heart. Stay with me.
Never know what you're going to get on the way back Wednesday.
No, it's up to you, the listeners.
I'm out on this.
You're responsible for this. 913-576-7610 at BWKC on Twitter. You pick the music today on a way back Wednesday. The full, very random Spotify list will be out later as well. Fesco in the morning, all one word. No spaces, yes. Right? On
no
Spotify,
spaces.
Fesco in the morning. You get the entire Spotify playlist.
You get all the playlists from every day of the week, but, you know, way back Wednesday is always
a
treat.
It's a little weird.
You never know.
Yeah.
Now, did your wife want you to have the Thompson Twins haircut? Because I'm looking at this, and it's epically glorious.
More like the Flock of Seagulls haircut.
Yeah, everybody wanted the Flock of Seagulls haircut back in the day.
Oh, boy.
So what if the SEC just gave everybody the double bird? And say, we've dominated this college football thing anyway. We got your playoff model right here. We got your playoff model right here. And just took it in-house and played, once Texas and Oklahoma arrive, and just played a 16-team tournament and be done with it.
I think people would enjoy that. I know I would. Wouldn't you love to see a 16-team SEC tournament, right? I think that'd be fun. 16-8-4-2 champion. Let's go.
I'm not an SEC fan, so I'd say I want my teams not to be left out, but they would have every right to just go, you know what? We'll just pack it in and do it ourselves. We can make all the money. We can get all the bucks. Mm-hmm. We're going to do it ourselves. We're winning 3 out of every 4. I don't know. It's probably worse than that. Titles anyway. They weren't happy that the playoff didn't get expanded. They were one of the leagues that wanted the playoff to be expanded this year, and it didn't happen. And they're floating out that the possibility is there that they just do it themselves.
What if
Greg
we
Sankey
see,
and Scott Strickland, who's the athletic director at Florida.
I know Scott.
Sankey, as we think as a conference, it's vitally important we think about the range of possibilities. Strickland goes on to note, we have an incredibly strong league, one that will be even stronger once Oklahoma and Texas join. The focus
should be Oklahoma.
On how we as a league use that strength to further position the SEC as we face new realities. Commissioner Sankey has encouraged our athletic directors to think creatively. An SEC-only playoff is a different idea that we should absolutely consider as an option.
Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you if you're the SEC? You dominate this thing anyway, right? The SEC is probably looking around going, oh, you other people hold me back, right?
You guys are all just sneaking in here because the rules state that you get in here.
You get in here, right? Yeah. So we're out on this one. We're going to secede from the college football.
They can very much operate from a strength perspective.
Right. I would say.
Sans Texas.
Texas is like, all right, we already put up with Vanderbilt. Now we got to deal with Texas. Come on. We got two schools holding us back right now. So I think if you're the SEC and you don't ultimately get what you want, you know, out of college football, I would legit take my ball and go home, because college football needs the SEC more than the SEC needs college football. That's fact. Okay. That's just a fact. And the SEC could go it alone, Josh. All you do is play SEC games all season long, play 10 SEC games, and then have the tournament. And then have the 16-team tournament.
And then you declare yourselves a national champion.
And you declare yourself the SEC champion and the SEC
/ national champion.
And who's going to argue with that? Yeah. And if the rest of you want to take your champion that you got up there in the north or whatever and play us in a game on New Year's Day, fine. We can do that.
Week of the Pro Bowl.
That type of thing, okay. Right?
Earlier conversation on the show today.
Right. I think it would be great. Josh, I think it would be so much fun having a 10 or 11 or 12 game, whatever it is, regular season, or even if you wanted to do, hell, a 16 game regular season. So everybody plays everybody, right? And then do a 16 team tournament and you're seeded based on how you do in the regular season. And then you play that 16 team tournament and the final team standing is your national champion. That sounds good to me. That sounds really good. So you'd have Alabama as the one playing Texas as the 16. And then you'd kind of just whittle it down from there and see where you end up. You create great matchups. The regular season, everybody would play everybody. You'd have, you know, the perfect way to rank teams. It wouldn't be, well, they got a breeze this year because they played, you know, Vanderbilt and Texas, and we had to take on A&M and Oklahoma. And, you know, so you wouldn't have any of that arguing. That's why you play a 16-game schedule or a 15-game schedule, I guess it would be at that point in time, because you're not playing yourself. Over 16 weeks, and everybody could have a bye. and then just go ahead and seed them like that and have a tournament, man. I think it's brilliant, and I think the SEC is good enough on its own where it doesn't need the ACC.
Yeah, they're
the
just inviting you to their party. They're already inviting you to their party.
Yeah.
Why not just have your own party?
Have your own party, man. You know what we're doing? We're going to close doors here, more beer for everyone and good food for everybody else. You ain't coming. What are you bringing to the party? Honestly.
No, you're giving us a chance to maybe be at your party.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. And like have all the other people, the nerds looking in at the cool
table. Which is why I'm jealous. Yeah. I'm, you know, Big 10, Big 12 person, right? Be like, well, no, but I want to be at that party too.
Yeah, but you're not good enough to be at that party, bro. Like, I hate to say
you're
it. Dorks down the hall.
You're only invited because, yeah. They've invited everybody at
Science
this point.
Science club here.
I know.
Math club
I wouldn't blame them if they did it.
We're the jocks. We're going to do what we want.
The money would be there. ESPN would partner with them.
Yeah. Oh, God, you think?
They'd trip over themselves to do it. So, yeah.
Yeah. ESPN would definitely trip over themselves. Give me all the SEC games and I don't have to take any Big 12 or Pac-12 games or ACC games. Yeah. It'd be a world of hurt for everybody else. But you know what? These organizations that aren't in the SEC have had years to try to get better. And the SEC's finally to the point, it's like, we've given you these opportunities. We've given you these opportunities. And nobody's taken advantage of these opportunities. Not one of you has taken advantage of these opportunities. And you're quite honestly, the rest of the teams in college football, saving Ohio State or a Michigan maybe, they're not worthy of playing against the SEC. You're not. You are not worthy of playing against the SEC. Texas Tech, Kansas State, Iowa State, they're not worthy of playing against the SEC. Arizona State, UCLA, they're not worthy of playing against the SEC. Northwestern, Indiana, Rutgers,
you guys want to figure it out, we'll do it ourselves. I don't have a problem with that at all. Even Vanderbilt's like, yeah, sure, let's do this.
Well, yeah, Vanderbilt's in. They're in the
We got a 1-16 shot, much better we had before.
Yeah. Vanderbilt's got the hot mom who's buying the hooch. Let's go. They're invited to the party.
Also a great idea. Where have you been all of our lives? Ice Wars.
Oh, this is wonderful. I just found this today.
This is outstanding.
And it's new. This is the first event
called Ice Wars.
I'm all in on this.
It's basically they're taking out the hockey and they're just going to have hockey fights.
That's right.
These are hockey fights. So you're in a miniature hockey octagon.
On skates. Beating each other up.
And they're fighting. And the referee's on skates with the helmet and the whole bit. But they've developed this. Professional and semi-professional fighters at the top of their game in top fighting condition are going to fight 2 1-minute rounds on the ice. Ice Wars.
2 1-minute rounds.
No, and Chuck's only 5'7", but he comes wailing away. Oh, he wanted to keep throwing, even though Cornell was down. Cornell, college hockey player on the ACHA level in North Dakota. Oh, what a stiff right from Cornell. And now he's going after Chuck. Chuck comes in. They're feisty.
That sounds great. We've eliminated the hockey. We're just going to do hockey fights.
Let's put
some dudes on skates and have them slug it out.
Right.
Sounds awesome.
Dude was 5'6". Our man Alejandro Kirk can get in on this.
Yeah, he'd be good on that one, too. Doesn't that look like a cool sport? You got to see the video of this thing.
The video's great.
The video's fantastic. I'm like, what am I watching? Oh, my God. It's a fight. And there's no hockey. It's just dudes on skates on ice. 2 1-minute rounds, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 2 1-minute rounds. That doesn't sound like a lot. You try it.
With full skates. Hockey gear on.
Fully padded.
B-Dub, get the commissioner of this league on the show.
I'm on it.
There's got to be a commissioner. There's got to be somebody out there. This
looks outstanding.
This and they're doing like 4 events this spring and summer. The first one was done the other day. Mm-hmm. That was the first one. There's 3 more of these things. I need more of this in my life. This is just another thing to compete with baseball.
The fighters will drop their actual hockey gloves to start the fight.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm in. I'm in on this. This sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
This instead of the Pro Bowl. How about that, Bob?
Oh, I like that.
Ice Wars instead of the Pro Bowl.
Let's go. Come on.
There's a season projection for Patrick Mahomes that will have me tell you I told you so. Next.
This is Fesco in the Morning. Preferred 2-1 over other competing dentists. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound. Your home for car audio since 1967. on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.